It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right, you have downloaded episode 33 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I am back in the host chair after a bit of an absence. I am also here with my co-host, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
All righty, we have our two players in Kelvin and Sean. Let's go ahead and waste no time introducing them. Sean, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I live in Richmond, Virginia. I work as an engineer. I was born at a great time to be on the New York Yankees bandwagon and haven't dropped off since.
All right. Thank you, Sean. And Kelvin, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Hi, my name is Kelvin. Right now I live in Whitewater, Wisconsin. I've grown up in Wisconsin my whole life, so it's been Packers, Brewers, Bucks. And then for hockey, I decided to follow a team called the St. Louis Blues. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yay! I've heard of them. The Stanley Cup Finals have not.
Ooh.
It's been a minute since I've been there.
Yeah, just a little bit. All right, now that we know who our players are, let's go over the rules. Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there. All right, we are back. The next order of business is to pick who plays first. So, Kelvin, I'm going to ask you to choose a side of a coin, heads or tails.
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. That sounds like something we heard last week. Let's see if it works again. Hey, Google, flip a coin for me.
All right. You got heads.
Ooh, tails fail.
Tails fails. So, Sean, you will be picking first in the first period. Kelvin, you'll pick first in the second period. And whoever is trailing will pick first in the third period. Your categories are: it doesn't matter who's wrong or right, just beat it, bastardized sports, or I like my ribs rubbed down nice and hard.
Okay. Let's go with the just beat it category.
Just beat it. This is a category about buzzer beaters.
Oh, man.
Number one, what team did Christian Laettner score a game winner on in the 1992 regional finals during March Madness?
I wish I knew more about college sports. UNC? I don't know.
UNC is incorrect. Calvin?
I believe that was Kentucky.
Kentucky is correct for a 5-point rebound. Very good. Number two, who dunked Derek Wittenberg's terrible shot to give NC State an NCAA championship over Houston?
I have no idea, so I'm going to challenge on that, but I'm guessing Calvin knows.
Calvin, you have been challenged.
I can see the play in my head, but I don't remember the player's name. It was... I have no idea. I can't name anybody from that team right now.
Alrighty, that was a good challenge by Sean. He keeps his 10 points. The answer is Lorenzo Charles. And yeah, it
never would have gotten that.
It's just like anything. You can see the play. The shot's going short. He grabs it and dunks it in. The next thing you see is Jim Valvano going crazy coming off the bench. Yeah.
They play the highlight about 5,000 times every March Madness.
Yes. That's one of the classics. Number three, currently with the Bulls, what most outstanding player of the 2016 men's NCAA basketball tourney made the pass to Chris Jenkins, who hit the game-winning shot for Villanova?
Ooh. Again, college sports, not really my category.
Yeah, so I'm with you on that pass one. You're going to pass. Calvin, do you have the answer?
I believe that was Ryan Archidiakono.
Oh, boy, am I glad you got that right, for the simple reason that I didn't have to try and pronounce that name. That is correct for a 5-point rebound.
So many syllables.
Yeah, so many vowels. It looks like alphabets in there. Number four. In 2017, Morgan William hit a jumper to stun UConn into exiting the tournament. What school did William attend?
Indiana.
Indiana is incorrect. Calvin?
What year did you say this was?
2017.
Okay. I'm not sure. I'll say Syracuse.
Syracuse is incorrect. The answer is Mississippi State.
Ah.
Number five, who scored 8 points in 8.9 seconds to shock the Knicks into a loss at the 1995 Eastern Conference semifinals?
Wasn't that Reggie Miller?
That was Reggie Miller, correct, for 10 points.
Woo!
And
one out of five ain't bad.
That's the old Meatloaf song, right? And I'm sure Spike Lee was thrilled at that performance by Reggie Miller sitting there on the sideline. So, Calvin, we are to you. You have to choose between bastardized sports or I like my ribs rubbed down nice and hard.
We'll go with ribs rubbed down nice and hard.
All righty. These are questions about Memphis.
Ooh.
Number one, when the Grizzlies had their best ever finish in 2011-2012, taking fourth in the West, they were captained by a UConn alum and a Michigan State alum. Name either of these men.
We'll go with Zach Randolph.
Zach Randolph is one of the correct answers for 10 points. Do you know the other just for fun?
Tony Allen?
No, Sean, do you know the other one just for fun?
No idea.
Rudy Gay.
Oh.
Number two, who did the Memphis Tigers lose to in the 2008 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship?
That would be the Kansas Jayhawks.
That is correct for 10 points. Number three, what Memphis squad is the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals?
Would that be the Memphis Redbirds?
That is correct for another 10 points. You are 3 for 3 so far, not to jinx you. Number four, 1994 Heisman winner Rashawn Salaam was the leading rusher for what team in 2001?
Would that be the Chicago Bears?
Chicago Bears is incorrect. Sean?
The Montreal Alouettes.
Good guess, actually. The answer is the Memphis Maniacs of the XFL.
Oh, wow.
So you were at least thinking out the NFL, thinking outside the NFL box, so that's good. And number five for Calvin. Perhaps inspired by a flying fortress made by Boeing or a love for Harry Connick Jr., what was the name of the independent women's football league team that played their last games in 2010?
I'm going to challenge on this one.
Sean, you have been challenged.
The B-52s?
That is incorrect. Calvin keeps his 10 points. You are on the right track. The answer is the Memphis Belles.
Oh, okay.
So after the first period, Calvin has a 50-20 lead over Sean. That takes us to the first intermission where the category is former stadium or arena names. I'm going to give you the former name of a stadium or arena in the United States. And you need to give me what the current name of that stadium or arena is. Make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number one, Joe Robbie Stadium. Number two, Jacobs Field. Number three, New Comiskey Park. And number four, Kiel Center. And while these guys ponder those answers, I will let you ponder this. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. We are back with the answers to the first intermission question. Number one, let's start with Sean. What is Joe Robbie Stadium known as now?
I have never heard of Joe Robbie Stadium. I don't even have enough to make a guess at what sport that is, so no idea.
And Kelvin?
I got Hard Rock Cafe Stadium.
Hard Rock Stadium is correct enough. That's where the Dolphins play their home games. Oh. Number two, Jacobs Field. Kelvin?
Calvin? I got Progressive Field.
And Sean?
Yeah, I thought that's where the Indians played, so I said Progressive Field, too.
That is correct for both of you for 5 points, and I should probably start giving you points in the spreadsheet.
I need all the points I can get.
Aaron's just happily letting me just go right.
You were on a roll. I didn't want to interrupt your flow.
That's right. Number three to Sean, New Comiskey Park.
I was guessing that was to replace Comiskey Park, which is, I think, where the Tigers played. So I said Comerica.
And Calvin?
I have Guaranteed Rate Field.
Guaranteed Rate Field is correct. The home of the Chicago White Sox, which is interesting because Guaranteed Rate Field's logo is in a down arrow. So I don't know if that's
just
really
like the trajectory of the White Sox.
Yeah, it's kind of come to fruition, hasn't it? And number four, Kiel Center. Calvin?
I believe that was the old name for what is now the Enterprise Center.
And Sean?
I was guessing that was a hockey arena, but did not come up with a name.
That is indeed the Enterprise Center, home of our St. Louis Blues.
Your
a building
Louis
near
Blues.
And dear to my heart. So Calvin picks up 20. Sean picks up 5. Right now we have a score of 90-25. Ready for the second period. Take it away, Aaron.
All right. Calvin's going to be picking first from these categories. Not Your Daddy's Fight Songs, Memories for Sale, or Hubba Hubba.
We'll go Not Your Daddy's Fight Songs.
All right. You're going to like this one. These are questions about musicals that were about sports.
All right.
Question number one. This musical, based on, this is what I was trying to edit last week, and it was like my keyboard was overwriting stuff. Red Cat. All right. Question one. This 2011 musical, based on a 2000 movie of the same name, features intense choreography and songs like Tryouts, Killer Instinct, and Eva's Rant, as it tells the story of two rival high school teams fighting for state victory.
Is that Bring It On?
It is Bring It On.
All right.
Well done.
Yeah. Number two. This 1955 musical, which was revived in 1994, is a modern retelling of the Faustian legend and includes songs like Devil Music and Shoeless Joe Dance.
Is that Eight Men Out?
It is not. Sean, do you know?
Cats.
Nope. It is Damn Yankees. Three. There are only a few differences between the 1967 Oscar-winning film that inspired the musical of the same name. One of those differences is that the titular athlete only consumes 3 fake eggs on stage during the workout montage, not 5 like in the film.
I believe that would be Rocky.
Sure would be. The musical is nominated for 4 Tony Awards, which blew my mind. It won the one for scenic design, which nobody cares about, but I think it was nominated for, like, Best Actor.
Really?
Yeah, it did very well.
Because if you were to just pull me in off the street and say, we're going to make a musical about Rocky, I'd be like, what?
Exactly. But, dude, nothing is sacred anymore. You can make musicals about everything.
This is true.
4. This 1980s musical, with music by members of ABBA, was a politically driven Cold War-era piece telling the story of two champions of the titular game who are from very different countries. It has been hailed as a metaphor for the entire Cold War.
I'm going to challenge on this one.
All right. Sean, what do you think?
Miracle on Ice, the musical.
That is incorrect. The answer is Chess.
Oh, okay.
Oh. One Night in Bangkok is like one of my favorite songs. I love listening to that song.
Yeah, it's a great show.
You said ABBA songs and my mind got stuck on Mamma Mia, so.
Nope. Number five. Described in the LA Times as flashy, fleshy, and ridiculously entertaining, the 2009 musical The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity nearly won a Pulitzer Prize and might just get me booted off this podcast since it's a musical about what spectacle?
I have no idea. I'm going to pass.
Hey, Sean, you want to take a guess?
Wrestling.
Want to be a little more specific?
Pro wrestling.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very well done.
Nice.
Yeah. So longtime listeners will recognize this. Brent refuses to write questions about pro wrestling, but I snuck this one in last week when he wasn't here. Yeah, wrestling. We did that show here a couple years ago. It was ridiculous and amazing. All right. Sean, you can choose from Memories for Sale or Hubba Hubba.
I'm going to go with Memories for Sale.
All right. These are questions about memorabilia. Number one, what player's 1906 baseball card, which was a promotion for cigarettes, sold for $3.12 million in 2016?
Is that Honus Wagner?
Sure was. Number two, the original rules document for what sport is owned by the University of Kansas?
Kansas. Basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good guess.
You said that with such confidence, too.
Oh, I'm killing it so far, guys.
There you go.
Number three. According to Stadium Talk, the majority of the top 23 items of sports memorabilia ever sold is related to what athlete?
Babe Ruth?
Yep. Everybody wants to own a piece of that. Number four. The oldest surviving version of what British soccer trophy was sold for just short of $1 million in 2005?
The Premier Cup?
Nope. Calvin?
Would that be the FA Cup?
It would be the FA Cup. I got 5 points on the rebound. And number five, back to Sean. Paul Henderson's jersey from what iconic 1972 hockey exhibition between Canada and the USSR is the most expensive hockey item ever sold?
I don't even know where to start answering this question, so I'm going to pass.
Okay. Calvin?
Would that be the Summit Series?
It would be. All right, that brings us to the second intermission. Score is 110-60. Calvin's in the lead, but there is plenty of game to catch up. Good news, Sean. This is also a college football question.
Yes.
All right, gentlemen, your question. I have in front of me the 8 winningest Division I NCAA football coaches. Name as many of them as you can. And while they're doing that, here's something for you guys to listen to at home.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
And we are back. Let's start with Sean. Give me your 8 NCAA winning coaches.
I'm not sure I can name 8 D1 coaches at all, so I'm going to pick 3 that I'm aware of. Nick Saban, I'm guessing, is probably on that list. Joe Paterno, I guess, probably coached for a while. And then Frank Beamer is the only other NCAA coach I can name.
All right. Those are 3 NCAA coaches. Calvin, what were your NCAA coaches? Calvin, sorry.
I have Joe Paterno, Bobby Bowden, Bear Bryant, Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, and then John McKay.
Good guesses all around. You all named some NCAA coaches. The list I have is number 8, Andy Talley. 7th, Lavelle Edwards. 6th, Frank Beamer. Go Hokies. 5th, Amos Alonzo Stagg. 4th, Pop Warner. 3rd, Bear Bryant. Number 2, Bobby Bowden. And the winningest NCAA football coach of all time, Joe Paterno. So just for comparison's sake, then, Joe Paterno coached for 46 years, had 409 wins. Nick Saban has coached for 22 years and has 218 wins. And Urban Meyer is not on this list.
He was at Florida starting in 2005, so he's really only been in the coaching game 13 years.
Yeah, that's why he's not up there. He will be, just not yet.
And he's kind of got his hands full of problems at Ohio State right now.
Yeah, yeah. Calvin picked up 15 points and Sean picked up 10. Moving on to the third period. Back to you, Brent.
Goodness, I should have been expecting that. We are back to Sean. You have your choice of these three categories. No Jaguars questions yet. Famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's, or what's in a name?
I got the Jaguars category.
No Jaguars questions yet. These are 5 questions about sports in London. Since they haven't quite yet gotten the Jaguars to move there. Number 1. What English Premier League team is currently playing home games in Wembley Stadium while the iconic White Hart Lane is being demolished?
Arsenal?
Arsenal is incorrect. Calvin?
That would be Tottenham.
Tottenham Hotspur is correct. Yeah, that stadium should have already opened, but has been delayed multiple times, and Tottenham isn't really saying why it's being delayed. They've had to extend their lease at Wembley at least a couple of times now, so it should be open anytime. Number 2, back to Sean. Until 1999, no women except Queen Elizabeth II were allowed to enter the Lord's Pavilion during play because sexism was super trendy in the 20th century. What sport is played at Lord's?
Tennis?
Tennis is incorrect. Calvin?
Cricket?
Cricket is correct for a 5-point rebound. Yeah, I think there are like something like 20 or so major cricket grounds around London.
That seems excessive.
Hey, they love their cricket, man.
So how many do you really need?
Well, London's a big city.
Yeah, but 20 cricket grounds?
This is true. Number 3, and they don't even have taxes to pay for their sports stadiums either.
I don't know.
How do they do it?
With common sense and reason. Go figure. Number 3. What 2 sports or activities are mentioned by name in the official venue that is home to Wimbledon each year? That is to Sean.
Squash and tennis. No idea.
Squash and tennis is incorrect. Calvin?
I know the name is lawn and tennis, so I'm going to say lawn and tennis.
Lawn and tennis is incorrect. The answer is lawn tennis and croquet.
Oh.
They love their croquet over there, I guess, if you're of the right class of society.
That sounds very British.
Yeah.
Well, it just sounds so close to cricket.
This is true. I hadn't thought of that. Number 4, the Thames Valley Harriers, one of the city's leading athletic clubs, play at a stadium named for what British sprinter who won the 100 meters at Barcelona in 1992?
I have no idea.
No guess?
Nope.
And Calvin?
I'll say Ben Bailey, but I think he's Canadian.
Ben Bailey is incorrect. The answer is Linford Christie, something else that sounds eminently British. And number 5, in 2007, London was the starting location for what event eventually won by Alberto Contador?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to pass.
And Calvin?
I think he's bicycling, and the only bicycling thing I can think of is the Tour de France, but that's obviously not right. So I'll say Tour de France.
Tour de France is correct for 5 points.
Oh.
Hey, guys, I'm doing the editing, and I thought I would drop in a little more information on this. The start of the Tour de France was moved to London in 2007 to commemorate the second anniversary of the terrorist bombings that took place in London in 2005.
We are to Calvin. You have your choice between famous Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's or What's in a Name?
We'll go What's in a Name.
What's in a Name? These are all about names of things or nicknames of things. Number one, El Clasico is a soccer match that features Real Madrid against what other La Liga side?
FC Barcelona.
Barcelona is correct for 10 points. The most recent one saw Barcelona beat Real Madrid 5-1. Ew.
Wow.
That's a whooping in a big game like that.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, what is the nickname for the space inside the defending team's 20-yard line in football?
That would be the red zone.
Also the most entertaining channel on DirecTV during football season, but I don't pay enough money to get that. Red zone is correct for 10 points. Number three, in cricket, the batsman must prevent the bowled ball from hitting what object?
From hitting like sticks, so stakes in the ground.
Do you know what they're called?
I'll say stakes.
Stakes is incorrect. Sean? Are
they called pins?
Pins is also incorrect. We were looking for the wicket.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the sticks are actually called the stumps, and there's little pieces of wood on top of the stumps called bales, and the stumps and bales make up the wicket.
Brent really likes cricket, y'all. I don't know if you noticed.
I do really enjoy a good game of T20 cricket. It's the form that only takes about 2 hours. It's a good watch.
Okay.
If you say so. Number four, a Bonspiel is a tournament in what winter sport? Calvin?
Curling.
Curling is correct for 10 points. We worked cricket and curling into the same category. Go figure. And number five, in competitive diving, what is the name for a diver folding their body forward at the waist?
Would that be a tuck?
Tuck is incorrect. Sean?
A fold.
The correct answer is pike. So no points on that one. Calvin, you picked up 45 points in the third period. Sean, you kind of struck out in that period, sorry to say. So the scores right now are 70 for Sean, 170 for Calvin. And that takes us to Aaron with the shootout.
All right. Here comes Brent with the rules for the shootout.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
So your question for the shootout is going to be in franchise wins. I'm going to give you three teams, and you're going to give me the number of wins they have in franchise history. Number one is the Boston Celtics. Number two is the Phoenix Coyotes and or the original Winnipeg Jets. And number three is the Buffalo Bills. Well, they're thinking about that. Here's something for you guys to listen to.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
And we're back with some answers. Number of franchise wins for the Boston Celtics. Sean, what did you say?
I know it's roughly 80 games a season for the Celtics. They've been around forever, and they were good for a very long time. So I ballparked that at about 3,000.
All right, and Calvin.
Yeah, kind of the same line of thinking. I think figured they've been around for about 60, 70 years, and figure about 50-ish wins a year sounds good. So I said 3,100.
All right, you guys were both close. The answer is 3,338. So Calvin was closest with a difference of 238, and he was also within the 10% margin of error. Number two, the Phoenix Coyotes and original Winnipeg Jets in the NHL. Sean, how many wins did they have?
I have no idea how long either of those teams have been around, but I know the Phoenix Coyotes are not very good. I just guessed 1,100.
Right, and Calvin?
Just kind of did some random math and came up with 1,560.
All right, they have 1,248 wins. So Sean wins this round with 100. He was off by 148. Calvin was off by 312. My favorite fact I've heard in the last several weeks is that the Phoenix Coyotes haven't won a game in Winnipeg since they were the Winnipeg Jets. Sean, you are correct.
That's awesome.
The Coyotes are trash. Yeah. They are not very good. And number three, the Buffalo Bills. Sean.
It was a complete shot in the dark for me. I said 400.
All right, and Calvin.
Bills, I figured they've been around for about 50 years in the NFL now. I figure I'd give them 7 wins a year and came up with 350.
All right, you both undershot slightly. Sean undershot by less. The answer is 412. So Sean was off by 12. Calvin was off by 62. Which means Sean, with 2 wins, wins the shootout, picks up 20 points. Which takes our final score. Sean has 90, Calvin has 170. Those scores are a little bit deceptive. I think Sean kind of got bit by the categories there a little bit. But excellent job, gentlemen. You both played a great game.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Calvin, congratulations. You are our winner today. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing? Anything you'd like to plug?
Just hope that the win here can help propel the Blues on later on this year.
From your mouth to God's ears, man. It's been a rough season so far. And Sean?
It's mighty cold around the hot stove, but looking forward to 2019 in baseball.
All righty. Yeah, this episode, I have to admit, this episode was pretty light on baseball, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
If you ever want to do baseball, happy to come back on, but I won't be very good at the whole basketball NCAA stuff.
Yeah, oops.
Sounds good. Yeah. If you were to ask me about NBA or Major League Baseball after the year 2000, I'd be completely lost. So I get how things get kind of sandwiched in there.
Mm-hmm. Sean has a reputation among our trivia friends here for just being ludicrously good at baseball stuff. And the story that I have heard now several times was then, I wasn't even there, but it was the game y'all were playing when they asked, like, how many wins did the whatever team have? Do you
yeah, what team had the worst record of all time in MLB history, and how many wins did they have in that season?
Yeah.
It was the Cleveland Spiders in like 1898 when they won 20 games in like a 110-game season.
And he just knew this. And just, yeah, doesn't everyone know that? And like, no, Sean, not everyone knows that.
Well, I think with the Spiders, they were also owned by the same guy who owned the St. Louis Browns at the time, so he traded all their good players to the Browns.
Yep, that was the case.
Oh, that makes sense. That sucks.
And a lot of good it did the St. Louis Browns. Thank you guys very much for taking the time on a Sunday afternoon to play some sports trivia with us. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Calvin. And for Aaron, this is Brent signing off, and we'll see you next time you download.
This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thanks for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
That's all right?
Mm-hmm.
I trust you.
Well, you shouldn't. I f***ed this up at least once a week.
Just be glad nobody refuted a challenge. That'd really cross her up.
Oh God, I still have no idea how this works. I just click buttons. It makes me want to screw it up. All right.